May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my soul find favor in your sight, my Lord and God. There is no question that I love reading the Gospels. They never get old. Each time I hear them, each time I read them, I'm experiencing them just that little bit different. There's something new every time, because it always speaks and reveals a different part, a different piece, a different reality of the love of Jesus. Sometimes I am so taken up by the gospel readings, I have to hold back tears because I am so moved hearing these beautiful words over again. And other times I want to shout like a Baptist at Abyssinia, "Hallelujah, Jesus," because the words are so powerful and stir me as they were meant to do. Not quite here in our Episcopalian setting, but a little hallelujah, amen wouldn't hurt every now and then. But that's okay. The Gospels are rich, and they are meant to teach us and enlighten us and give us something. In today's Gospel, it is one of those Gospels that's often said to be the cranky Jesus or the restless Jesus. I like to say it's the "don't make me lose my religion up in here, Jesus." For those of you who may not be familiar with that term, it's when people say or do things that just make you wonder how they could have totally missed time and time again the message of Jesus and the love of Jesus, because they come to you with stuff that just makes no sense. In today's gospel, according to Luke, as the day is drawing near for him to be taken up, Jesus's face is towards Jerusalem, where he would be taken up above his trials, to the cross, to the crucifixion, but risen up beyond death to the glorious resurrection and ascension. With all that was going on around him, the Son of Man, in these most troubled times, he was not distracted, confused, or discouraged, or weary. Jesus was ready to take care of the business, God's business, to do the unthinkable, to offer us love and life in this fragile world. To glory what is meant to understand the glory and power of being a child, unapologetically, with the audacity to love God fully, with so much that it cannot even be totally comprehend, truly above anything that we can pray, ask, or imagine, especially with all the distractions that surrounded them, the disciples then, and surround us now. For their beloved teacher and rabbi shows them once again how to keep their face towards Jerusalem. Here once again, as time and time again, Jesus gives examples and speaks the living word to the gathered, to his disciples then and now, generation to generation, to walk along him on this journey, because he did not come here to do it alone. He meant to gather the faithful, the believers, to serve as witness of what it means to overcome death on the cross and to spread the living gospel, as we are called to do, as God created each and every one of us to do, by the way, without exception. We all have, at one time or another, have to make the decision to either walk the walk with the chosen, to follow Jesus on this path, calling us, owning ourselves as believers, to face Jerusalem, embracing that we know it is the hardest, the hardest thing we will ever do in life is to follow Jesus. Trusting and loving God as Jesus trusted in loving God. It is a love that is trustful and brings out the bravery in each and every one of us that passes all understanding. To fix, to go down into the trenches, to face evil, to move back the stone and fix the brokenness around us. And as this day is growing near, Jesus invited all of them, to know and do the same. Again, without exception. He didn't say, you're welcome to come, but you're not. You can't be here because you don't agree with me. You can't be here because you don't look like me. You can't be here because you don't love like me. No, there were no exceptions. We were all welcomed, and we were all called to speak the word and act on what God dreamed us to be. It is that love and that power Jesus shows time and time again to all gathered from his time on the mount, where those held their breath, listening to the words of this rabbi and teacher speak with audacity, lifting up those who have been discarded, talking about the love of God, connecting them. Some left in confusion and doubt, not wanting to let go and let God. But those who stayed began to look towards Jerusalem. They began to walk the walk with Jesus. And then, as life would have it, all stuff happens. And that road begins to get a little rough, a little sticky, a little uncomfortable. As much as I love reading the Gospels, I love the disciples. The disciples have a way of reminding us of our humanness, those things that easily make distractions come upon us. Many were with Jesus from the mount when they first heard him speak, and there were some that left. But those that stayed walked with Jesus. They watched him feed the hungry, heal the sick, lift the dead. He showed them and said to them, time and time again in word and action, love your neighbors, love your God, follow me, with no exceptions. And yet, we see, it happens, that here again, as Jesus is leaving the town of Samaritans, where he was rebuked, two of his disciples, James and John, ask him, because he was ignored. He was ignored. And they ask him, do you want us on your behalf to bring down some fire and burn these people? One of those, Lord, don't let me lose my religion moments. I am sure Jesus, for a moment, maybe even skipped a step, thinking about, with all the time that you were with me, on all the roads we walked, on all that you witnessed, did I ever tell you to destroy someone who doesn't believe me? Did I ever give you permission to destroy someone who doesn't love me? Did I ever tell you that this is what you do to those that you don't agree with? Where did you hear that? You didn't hear it from me. Instead, Jesus, still with his face to Jerusalem, instructs and redirects his beloved to get back on the right path. You see, Jesus wants us to be with him because he knows whatever happens, whatever hardships we may face, whatever difficulties are going to happen, the resurrection is coming. And we need to be present and be witness as believers of God. For we are the ones who are called by God to proclaim the kingdom of God here and to heal the brokenness. I don't fault the disciples for somehow with their selective hearing or misinterpreting. This is hard stuff. This is difficult stuff because there are so many distractions around them as they are with us today. And it is honestly hard sometimes to get beyond the relentless, persistent, ignorant stupidity rooted in pure and inexcusable hate. It is difficult. We are living in a time where we have to remind ourselves and speak to the truth that we all have the right to exist, to hold and to have unalienable rights of equality, to live the life of God made and breathe the Holy Spirit in us to be. And in these dangerous times that we are living, where indigenous peoples and enslaved and now free are being erased from history, libraries, where our arts and creative minds are being strangled, where women, once again, their rights are being questioned, where life-saving vaccines are expiring and food is rotting in factories and warehouses rather than giving them to children who so desperately need them and are dying. Our sanctuary cities are under attack by the very people who we once looked to protect us. And our LGBTQ children of God are being once again viciously marginalized. In just 1 week, just this past week, the LGBTQ+ suicide hotline has been shut down. Why? Why? Because of the distractions meant to destroy us. When I was a chaplain in NYU, I worked a pediatric ward. It took a little while before my director felt I had earned my stripes, so to speak, to handle the very challenging children, those who were there on suicide watch. We went over the details and what to do and what not to say and how to be there for a support. The first of several children, starting at the age as young as 8, going up to young adolescents, were children who attempted suicide because they were going through transition or coming out as who they were. I never forget that the first child's room I went into was about 8 or 9. They were in transition, and I didn't know what to expect. I thought I would see a child huddled in a corner, crying and despondent and pained and hurt. But instead, when I opened the door, there was an 8-year-old kid. They were playing on their phone. They were watching the TV at the same time. They were speaking to their friends. They were hanging out, having a good old time. And it kind of took me back for a moment because I said, wow, I thought they tried to commit suicide. I expected something much different. I had a couple of more situations like that, so I finally asked my director one time. I said, you know, this is sort of strange to me. This isn't what I typically see with individuals who have contemplated suicide. I never forget what he said to me. He said, Marcia, this is the only place they feel safe. This is the extreme that they have to go to be themselves, to play, to be recognized, to be cared for, to laugh, to receive a hug, and to get the care and respect that they need to exist. This is the times we are living in. This is what we are being drawn to. And this is not the cranky Jesus, but the Jesus that wants to remind us at this particular point in time, as Harvey Milk's name is being stripped from a battleship, as our rights and privileges are being attacked, and I mean all of our rights and privileges, People of color, women, children, LGBTQ, all of us, they are coming for all of us. Our rights and the love of Jesus is under attack. It is these times we need to draw closer to Jesus. We need to let go of those distractions, move beyond our comforts, let go of anything that is not living and preaching the love of God, keeping our face to the Jerusalem. We are beyond thinking, this is just about me, all about me. No, it's about all of us. It's about all of us, children of a loving God that sees us and welcomes all of us as I believe how he created us. There are no exceptions. And like Jesus, we are taken up to Jerusalem. So yes, today we will celebrate the fearlessness, the resilience, the glorious LGBTQT community that has given our world so much pride and love and joy. In parades and dance and just having some good old fun on this hot summer day. But tomorrow, we get up again and we collectively march for justice. We speak up and out against anything that distracts us. We come together as community to support and welcome one another, coming together on that road with the road to Jerusalem with Jesus and all disciples, not getting discouraged, not getting distracted, and not using the Bible as a weapon to spread ignorance. With all the quotes that I see and hear from the white Christian nationalists about what God said and what Jesus said, it's very funny. I've never heard them quote what Jesus did say, love your neighbor as yourself. And as the last command, simply love one another. If you cannot love your neighbor, and I mean all your neighbors and all their diversity and all their differences of who they are, what they are, who they love, who they choose to love, where they live, where they are from, then you are not loving God. So let us come together and celebrate around God's table today the resurrected Lord, the Lord who shows us with the Spirit in us to go forth and go above and beyond on this road to Jerusalem. To be glorified how we join together, work together, love together, to do what we are all here to do as who we are, what we are, as our authentic, true selves. And in that, be one in the love of God. Amen.